Well, here I am again. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you a little bit today about what we're doing at Oasis, actually, this whole year. We're talking about miracles and signs and wonders. Now, isn't that cool? How many of you need a miracle? Okay, so be thinking about that while I'm talking this morning, all right? Now, first of all, what is a miracle? Now, a miracle is an event that can't be explained by natural or scientific laws. Now, I've always felt that science is not the end-all and be-all and do-all of everything anyway, but it's merely the study and observation of what God is doing. That's what I think science is. It's nothing by itself. Honey, won't you move? That sunlight's in your eyes. Fluorine's right in it. Yeah, that's fine. That was a miracle. Praise God, we got sunshine on Sunday morning. Hallelujah. Now, that's the science is merely the study and observation of how God does things. Natural laws are what we have observed about God's creation, and science is how we record those observations. So when we speak of something being a miracle, we are giving witness to and testifying about an event that's outside those humanly observed natural or scientific laws. A miracle is something that shows the intervention of a power that is not limited by laws, either of matter or of mind. A power that interrupts those fixed laws which govern their movements. It's a supernatural power. That's what a miracle consists of, okay? Now, what's a sign? A sign is something that marks people or things that are distinguished and made known. Both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, signs are associated with the miraculous and associated with immediate divine intervention or interference. I like when God interferes with stuff, don't you? Yes. For instance, the plagues of Egypt were signs that God was displeased over the captivity of Israel. And what's one of the most recognizable signs in the Bible, in the Old Testament? How about the rainbow? That's right, the rainbow. The rainbow was God's sign that he would never flood the earth and wipe out people again. Gideon asked for a sign in the fleeces. When he put out the fleece one time and he says, let it be dry, and then he put it out again, he says, let everything else be wet and that be wet, or whatever, you know. He was looking for a sign. One time it should be dry and one time it should be wet. Oh well. In the New Testament, the miracles that Jesus did were signs that he was God's son and he was sent by the Father to show his true nature. So that's one thing that a sign is. Now, what's a wonder? A wonder is something that's strange and surprising. It's a cause of surprise. It's astonishment or admiration. And it's also the emotion that's caused, I lost my place, the emotion that's caused by these strange and surprising things happening. It's a feeling of surprise or puzzled interest, sometimes tinged with admiration. We think, oh, he's a one-day wonder. Isn't that wonderful? Here we see that a wonder is both a thing, like a miracle, and an action, like our response to that miracle. So that's what a wonder is. So this whole year, our speakers at Oasis are talking more about signs and wonders. Wonders? I love that word. Miracles, signs, and wonders. Wonders. Oh, gosh. As we go through the year, we're focusing on watching for them, recognizing them as they occur, increasing our expectation that more of them were going to happen. And we're recording our responses to these events. So today I want to give some examples of some biblical miracles so you can see the context that we're talking about them in. Now, other speakers throughout the year are giving their testimonies on their personal miracles that they've seen, events that they've witnessed on how God goes into intervention mode on behalf of the people who desperately need his supernatural power. And I want to, for all of us today and all throughout Oasis and in the rest of the year, the rest of your life, actually, I want you to be aware of your personal involvement in seeing miracles, signs, and wonders happening. Okay? So I want to run through the ABCs of biblical miracles. Not all the way to Z, just ABC. Adam. Anatomy, apples, apprehensiveness, and appreciation. In Adam, we see the whole of humankind, how God performed the physical being out of nothing but dust of the earth, something that can't be duplicated using natural laws, and made that human body so delicately balanced in its physicalness, all the cells, the skeletal structure, the nerves, the muscles, the organ, the brains, the heart, the lungs. All of these things are miraculous in how they function together day after day, year after year, decade after decade, until we're 120 years old. Our bodies still keep working. Some of us in really good shape, some of us in not so good shape, but they still continue to work. Okay? Now, not only did God create a perfect physical specimen when he created Adam, he gave his breath to make that physical being live. It wouldn't have lived if God hadn't breathed into him. It would just have been a lump of clay laying there. And that included in that life was the ability to think, to reason, and to choose. Sometimes Adam would choose wisely, like when he was naming all the animals. Can't you just see that day? That must have been such a beautiful, fun play date between God and Adam. When God presented all the animals to him and he says, now what do you want to call this? And he goes, oh, Lord, let's call that one a platypus. Yeah, that's what it is. We'll call him a and that one over there, that can be a giraffe. That's a lovely word. We'll call that long-necked thing over there a giraffe. Can't you just imagine how much fun God and Adam had? I just think that would have been such a glorious day to be alive with them. Sometimes Adam chose foolishly, like eating the apple that Eve offered him. That was pretty dumb. But the miracle was that he was able to make the choice, just like we are able to make choices for our own lives, to decide to do this or to that or to go here or to go there. And not only in our physical existence, but also in the most intricate patterns imaginable. In music, what a miracle music is. We just witnessed some of that this morning, how intricate musical patterns are. Mathematics, that's a miracle if anybody can understand how to get past long division. Especially in today's educational system. Miracles in art, how people can take paint or charcoal or something and make beautiful pictures out of it. Not talking about mine, but anyway. Languages, how many different languages there are and how we can learn them. Inventions, medicines, all these things are miracles in form and structure. We travel from a being made out of dust to a being able to conceive of space travel and to actually bring that concept into being. That's a miracle. Also, there's the miracle of being able to think, and in that was included a conscience, a spiritual connection to what's right and what is wrong. That's why Adam and all of mankind is able to become apprehensive over the rightness or wrongness of their choices. Yeah, Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil that they were told not to eat. And then they were able to experience remorse, apprehensiveness, fear, and guilt. But those were the very things that God never wanted for them to have to experience in the first place. But because we had that connection to God, even though it was dead because of sin, it was still active in some level, because they were able to understand that they had done wrong, that they had offended God. It's still active, and that's called our conscience. And within this connection is the ability to believe, to trust, to have faith, even when we don't fully understand what's going on. We see all kinds of things happening to us and we don't really understand why they're going wrong. But we still have the ability to trust, and that's part of our spiritual DNA. And the flip side of this apprehensiveness is appreciation. We know that Adam must have worshipped God even after he was expelled from the garden, because his own sons built altars as from the example that Adam gave. And they too had the ability to choose how to worship God. Eve worshipped God in appreciation when Seth was born, for she felt that God had replaced Abel, her son, that had been killed by Cain, when Cain's worship went awry. So we see that the worship of God, the appreciation of his grace in action in their lives, still continued on. And in the generations following this, then Enos was born, and worship of God began to be widespread among all the people. So our A of miracles is Adam, mankind itself, with all of our physical weaknesses and strengths, our ability to think and dream and create, and our continued appreciation of his goodness towards us, our continued connection to his spirit, the rebirth of that connection when we are born again. That rebirth or rekindling of that connection is like the reset button on a hot water boiler. I had a problem with my boiler just before Christmas, and I kept having to reset the thing about 3 or 4 times a day. That's terrible. But we're just like that. When our pilot light, our connection to the Holy Spirit, gets cranky, we have to reset it through prayer, repentance, and the miracle of grace that produces forgiveness. So B, the next thing I want to talk about miracles, is God's willingness to exhibit them. Now, I'm sure you all you Bible scholars, you know this, the concept of first mention. And that indicates that the first mention of any action of God is an indicator of his character, his will, his direction, and his desire for that action to be continued throughout the ages. You all know about that? The theory of first mention? Whenever anything is listed in the Bible, the first time, that's the way it's supposed to be carried out through all the rest of the scripture. That's the idea that it's supposed to portray throughout the rest of it. So, still in Genesis, let's look at the first mention of some of God's actions. In Genesis 1:1, it says this, "In the beginning, God created." Now, it goes on from that simple phrase to outline everything that he did. In an orderly process, a continuing process, and a lengthy process. A process that tells us scripture, it tells us in scripture that he continues to hold it together even today. He's never let go of creation. He's still creating today. He created everything there is. Everything that there is. Did you ever stop to think that all the water that there ever was or ever will be, was made at creation? Now, how cool is that? Man, as clever as he is, can't create water. He can clean it up after he's made a mess out of it, but he can't create anymore. That's God's purview. That's his miracle for us. He's the only one that created water. Now, think about this. I'm going to go off script a minute. Think about the rivers of living water that are supposed to flow out through us. Who created that? Who created that river of living water? God did. Can we recreate that? No, only God can. That river of living water comes from our connection to him, and he pours that in and out through us. Okay, so God planted a garden, a beautiful place. He made a lush home and a landscape for mankind. So this is the first mention of God as our provider. Next, we see that he created man in his image. And what a miracle that was. To look like God, to talk like God, to work like God, to trust like God, to love like God, to protect like God does. All of this was breathed into mankind at Adam's creation. And even when Adam failed to live up to those potentials, God still was the provider. He provided protection from the environment outside of the garden when he made clothes for Adam and Eve. He provided protection from the consequences of their sin by placing guardian angels with flaming swords to keep them from eating from the fruit of the tree of life after eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he did that because he didn't want them to stay bound in their guilt for eternity. If they had continued eating from the tree of life after eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they would have lived forever knowing how to sin, knowing the guilt of that. That's why he placed those angels there to stop them from eating that tree, the fruit from the tree of life, to protect them. It wasn't a punishment, it was a protection. He even then provided information about what was going to happen to them after they got out of the garden. Now you see, I don't think, this is me, this is a Mary Porter paraphrase, this is not thus saith the Lord, but I don't think that the curses in Genesis 3 were actually curses. I think they were explanations of the consequences of what happened to them. It was a chain reaction. Except for the curse on the serpent, and that was a curse, when God said that he would eat the dust of the earth as his meat. Now the Lord showed, and I may have shared this with you before, but the Lord showed me one time that this is a visual reminder in the very beginning of the book. Visual reminder that when mankind acts from his flesh, which is made from the dust of the earth, he's being the serpent's food, giving him strength. When we act in the flesh, we're acting out of the dust of the earth. And that's what feeds the serpent. Okay? Whew, that one's pretty powerful. Then as the years go by, we've got the story of Cain and Abel. One whose gift was accepted and the other whose gift was no sacrifice, but merely lip service. Even in the aftermath of murder, however, God provided a sign, an act of mercy for Cain, so that men would not kill him for his act of fratricide, of killing his brother. And I heard one teacher talk about this sign as being in the shape of a cross imprinted on Cain's forehead, marking him as belonging to the generation of the forgiven under Jesus' authority, so that God provided him and kept him alive. Cain pleaded with the Lord. He said, "Lord, my sin's too great. They'll kill me out there unless you protect me." And God protected him with that sign on his forehead so that men would not kill him. And this is a forerunner and a sign and a miracle for Cain and a wonder for us, that the sign of the cross would protect us from being wiped out. We can see then that God has always miraculously been our provider. He provides environment, shelter, information, wisdom, protection. And as these are all first mentions of God's character in Genesis, we know that he will always be the same, yesterday, today, and forever. The miracle of all of this is that he wants to be our provider. We don't really have to beg him to be our provider. He wants to be our provider. He could have just chucked it all in and started all over again. As we know from Genesis 6:6, when it says, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." But even as he repented, and that word means to have a second thought. You know, when you say something really silly, somebody will say, "Well, you got another think coming." That happened to God. He had another think about what he had said. And he repented from that thought. He repented from his repenting. I think that's really cool. Thank you, God. I'm glad you did that. But even as he repented of ever making man, he also repented from that and stayed true to his nature of provider, protector, and parent. Then down through the years, he found Noah and found favor with Noah. And through that family, saved mankind from being destroyed by the flood that wiped out the wickedness that was on the earth. So we can see that the miracle of love provided the miracle of the ark. He still loved his people, even though they acted stupid. And he made the miracle of the ark so that they would be saved. So the second aspect of miracles is that God wants to do them for us. Once we understand this and accept that he wants to do them for each one of us individually, as well as being his heart for all mankind, then it doesn't seem like such a stretch to start asking for them, to expect them, to experience them, and to see them in the lives of the ones that we love. So now we've established that, one, mankind has a spiritual connection to the mind of God, breathed into Adam at his creation, and that, two, the mind of God, his heart, his entire being, is willing and able to intervene on our behalf to produce the miraculous in our lives. Those things that defy explanation, those things that don't follow natural or scientific laws, but meet needs that are so deep that we oftentimes can't even express them. But now, what's our part in seeing miracles occur? Now, for that, we need to jump away from Genesis and creation stories over into the New Testament. We see there how God, in the form of Jesus, demonstrated the miraculous on the earth. Now, you all know stories of the healings, the blind seeing, the lame walking, and the deaf hearing. The lepers cleansed, the woman with the issue of blood was healed, and the bent over old woman was straightened up. Any other miracles that have spoken directly to you from your reading of the Bible? Anybody have any other miracles in there that they particularly dwell on? Yes, Anita. Yes. Yes. Exactly. God is willing to cleanse even lepers. Sabina. Walking on the water? Yeah, that's cool. I'd like to do that too someday. I'd like to be... Never mind. There were miracles of provision. Wine for the wedding guests, money for tax collectors, bread and fish for the multitudes. Jesus performed miracles of resurrections. There was Lazarus, Jairus' daughter, the widow's son. There were miracles of restoration. The demoniac being restored to his right mind. Zacchaeus given money back. Now that's a major restoration. That's a major miracle when a tax collector gives money back. Whoo! Boy, I tell you. And all of these are true to the nature of God that we've already talked about. So is that enough to know the stories? To have head knowledge of what was done? Well, it's a first step. Our primary scripture for the year in Oasis is found in Mark 16. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. From this verse, we can also see another truth in Romans when Paul says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our part is to fill our hearts and minds with the word of God that clearly demonstrates the fact of miracles and the fact of God's willingness to intervene in the messes of our lives to produce them. Too many times our miracles are left just out of reach because we've sent them off to live in the realm of olden times. You know, God doesn't work that way anymore. We don't really need miracles today because we've got the Bible now. How many have heard those kinds of things? Yeah. Or, they're not for me because fill in the blank. or any other number of thoughts that come flooding into our minds to steal them away. One of my favorite stories, and you've probably heard this one before too, is of the man who died and went to heaven, and his guardian angel was showing him all around the place, all the wonders, the streets of gold, the pavement that he brought with him, the majestic palaces made out of ivory, everything that he ever imagined heaven would look like. And finally, they came to a real large room that was filled to the rafters with beautifully wrapped gift packages. And the man asked, well, what was all that? And the angel replied, those are all the miracles that you have asked God for, but they couldn't be delivered because you stopped believing for them the day before they were supposed to be sent out. How many of us have rooms in our heavenly palaces that are chock full of miracles that we stopped believing for? That breaks my heart to think that I've got miracles waiting on me that I stopped believing for. All the things that I've asked God for over the years, I got to start believing in them again. We've got to start believing in the things that we've asked for. Let me give you another scripture that confirms this. It's in 2 Corinthians 10. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not subject to natural or scientific laws. But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, that says he can't do the miracles anymore, and brings into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And that word Christ means the anointing and all that's included in the anointing and in the anointed one. That's where our warfare is bringing down the imagination that says, God can't do that. He can't forgive me. My sin's too great. He can't produce that miracle because I'm too old. He can't produce this. He can't do that because. That's an imagination that casts itself against the knowledge of God. This is what Jesus said about the anointing that was on him. The Spirit of the in Luke 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel, which is good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to those that are captive, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, all of those things have physical ramifications that he's talking about here, but they also have very deep spiritual meaning to them. The brokenhearted, captives. You may not be a slave in another country, but you may be captive to something that you don't want to be captive to. You may be captive to heartache. You may be captive to chocolate. You may be captive to gossip. You may be captive to a lot of things. And deliverance is there in the name of Jesus for us. Recovering of sight to the blind. That's not just physical blindness and not being able to see. That's also spiritual blindness and not being able to see the goodness and the mercy and the grace and the miracles of God. To set at liberty them that are bruised. Have you ever been kicked in the teeth and shunted aside because you weren't good enough? God can set us free from that. And Jesus came to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. Today, now is the day of salvation. Now our part in seeing, receiving, and experiencing and sharing miracles is right here. You don't have enough faith? Well, where does faith come from? Hearing the word. You say your faith is weak or small? What did Jesus teach about the size of your faith? Mustard seed size. Where are you planting that seed of faith? In God and his willingness to do you good and do good for you? Or in the circumstances that seem to loom over you? Which one changes? The circumstances or God? Circumstances. So the ABCs of miracles. A, we are created with the breath of God that makes us alive unto his spirit. We have an eternal connection to His love, His provision, His mercy and grace. B, He is willing to intervene on our behalf, even if He has to move mountains or create new circumstances that can't be dismissed with natural or scientific explanations. And C, all we have to do is to believe it, to keep on believing it, to appreciate the miracle when it comes, and to be thankful that God loves us that much. There's a little bit in the movie Wizard of Oz that really speaks to me here about this thing. And that's that cowardly lion. When all the ghosts and the ghouls and the goblins come flying down out of the witch's mountain, and he's standing there and he's got his tail in his hand and he's going, I do believe, I do believe, I do believe in spooks, I do believe in ghosts, I do believe, I do believe. He did it out of fear. But you know what? We can do believe God, not out of fear, but because we know He is good and He is for us and He's on our side. So, I asked you in the beginning, who needs a miracle? Who needs a miracle? Okay, now let me ask you a second question. What was your first thought when I asked that? I do, but... Did anybody but me say that? Praise the Lord. All right. Even if you do think, I need a miracle in my finances, but I can't find a job. I need a miracle in my body, but the medicine's not working. I need a miracle in my son's life, but da 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 da. I need this miracle, but don't put the buts on God. He's not limited to that. Now, my hope for you is that your faith will be increased. You plant it in the right fields. You protect it from any strongholds that would prevent you from receiving what you need. That you will begin to see and experience every miracle that you ask for. How many believe that miracles can happen? How many believe that miracles can happen for you? What's preventing God from performing them in your life and circumstances? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Let's be like Paul, who says, I am persuaded. I'm persuaded now that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present or things to come, neither height nor depth nor any other creature is able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Nothing can separate us from the miracles that we need from Him. All we have to do is believe Him. Now I'm going to ask you, if you believe in miracles, I want you to put your money where your mouth is. I've got some papers here and I want you to take them. Ian, would you pass those around for me, please? I want you to write down the miracle that you want God to perform for you. Take three or four if you need them. There's plenty there. And I want you to put those in the front of your Bible. And I want you to pray over those lists every day. Whenever you get your Bible out to study God's Word, wherever you sit, wherever you listen to the Scriptures, wherever you do anything about believing God, look at your list of miracles that you need. Then when your miracles happen, I want you to come back and share them with us because that increases our faith. A couple of years ago at Oasis, we did Testimony is Prophecy. Because what God does for me, He can do for you. What God does for you, He can do for me. And we need to hear those things from one another. We need to hear the miraculous happening in our lives. We need to know that God really is active on our behalf. And we can't do that if we don't get the miracle. So keep believing for your miracle. Keep believing for the sign that God is really in love with you. Keep believing for the wonder that's going to come in your heart because of all the miracles that you are going to experience. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you and we ask you, Lord, for every miracle that's on every heart that's needed. Father, whether it's health, whether it's finances, whether whatever it is, Lord, you know exactly what it is. You know the beautifully wrapped packages that we have stored in our storage closet in our heavenly place. Father, we want those packages to be delivered. We want to see the miracles, Lord, that you have planned for us, that you have purposed in your heart to give to us. Father, you are not a stingy God. You are a blessing God. You are a multiplying God. And Father, we thank you for that. And Lord, we ask that every person in this room, every person who hears this message, will be blessed beyond measure because they've got their miracle coming on the way. And we thank you for that in advance. In Jesus' name, amen.